Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Sure, you saw Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth, but did you know Hollywood was already warning us about climate change almost 50 years before that?
Due to our release through factories and automobiles every year of more than 6 billion tons of carbon dioxide, which helps air absorb heat from the sun, our atmosphere seems to be getting warmer.
This is bad.
Well, it's been calculated a few degrees rise in the Earth's temperature would melt the polar ice caps.
That film, The Unchained Goddess, was released in 1958, and it was produced by a Hollywood legend, Frank Capra, the man who gave us It's a Wonderful Life. A clip from Capra's remarkable climate change film has been making the rounds on the internet. We asked Capra biographer Joseph McBride how Capra got involved in climate science, and it's an interesting story. Mr. McBride, welcome to Living on Earth.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Now, you wrote a book where you had extensive access to Frank Capra. What's behind this, I've got to say, eerily prescient film, The Unchained Goddess, about climate change?
Well, Capra was, he had a very good scientific training and wanted to be a chemical engineer originally and went to what is now Caltech. It was then called Troop Institute of Technology in Pasadena. But he ran into some academic problems and shifted his focus to motion pictures. But he always had a fascination with science and kept up with the field and told me late in life that he maybe wished he had stayed in that field.
So Frank Capra, Hollywood legend, was really a frustrated scientist.
Yeah, I think so. He was also kind of a frustrated educator. In the 1950s, his career as a feature film director foundered partly due to the Blacklist era. He was under suspicion because his films had been sort of liberal and had social criticism. So he retired to his ranch in Fallbrook, California, and was lured back by AT&T to make science films for children, played first on television, then distributed to schools. And he had a lot of input from important scientists in these films. So they're smart and they hold up well scientifically.
Now, in The Unchained Goddess, it's remarkable that there's this animation that shows South Florida underwater, little boats going in the water and the buildings under the water there.
Tourists in glass-bottomed boats would be viewing the drowned towers of Miami through 150 feet of tropical water.
It's a lot of fun, and it just seems so far ahead of its time. It really kind of blows your mind when you think this was made in 1958.
Well, one of the ironies is that Capra was a Republican, and a lot of people think mistakenly that he was a liberal because his films are somewhat liberal in their orientation to some extent. But he was a lifelong conservative, and that doesn't stop him from being a good scientist and believing in climate change. Today, I think there's this dichotomy between, you know, if you're conservative, you're supposed to be antithetical to understanding climate change, which doesn't make any sense. So you could say it's strange bedfellows, Frank Capra and Al Gore, but they're more alike than Capra would probably like to admit.
Extremely dangerous questions. Even now, man may be unwittingly changing the world's climate through the waste products of his civilization, not only dealing with forces of a far greater variety than even the atomic physicist encounters, but with life itself.
Since he knew science, unlike most filmmakers, he understood deeper truths and future concerns. As far back as 1938, in his Oscar-winning film You Can't Take It With You, Jimmy Stewart talks about solar energy, which is kind of astounding when you see that in 1938. And so Our Mr. Sun is an early film advocating solar energy in 1956.
You mean the solar battery?
Yeah. The recipe for this solar wafer sounds just like a vacation, just sand and sunshine. Expose wafer to sunlight, presto! The motor starts running with the efficiency of an automobile, and nothing is used up but the sunshine, which is free.
Is that something?
Well, I'll be darned.
So it filled the hole of the fact that he was creatively frustrated in the 50s when he was sort of a self-exile from Hollywood. It was a pleasure to be away from political pressure of making films about important big issues. These were not considered important big issues at the time. Ironically, now they are.
So what do you think Frank Capra might do in terms of the current climate change debate if he were with us today?
Well, I'm afraid, since I know his MO, that he would probably try to disassociate himself from the Unchained Goddess because he'd be on the wrong side of the political spectrum. I'm saying that because, for example, during the Vietnam War, Capra gave a talk at a college in which he sort of disowned Mr. Smith Goes to Washington because it was highly critical of the American political system, which I think is kind of sad that he would sort of run away from the implications of his own films. But he was very traumatized by, first, the reaction against Mr. Smith from some right-wing pundits and politicians, and then the post-war backlash against liberal filmmaking or left-wing filmmaking. So I think he'd be uncomfortable about being considered a man crying out in the wilderness that climate change is a problem.
Now, you got a lot of time to talk with him, and it sounds like pretty personal conversations. What did he tell you about, his early desire to follow science?
Well, I had a lot of very revealing conversations with him. He was very interesting to talk to, and we had a very good discussion, which I used to end my book, Frank Capra, The Catastrophe of Success, because I think it was so revealing. If you want me to, I could read that discussion.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Well, I asked him if he thought he'd made the right choice to forsake his scientific ambitions for motion pictures, and he said, not particularly. So I said, well, you think you would have been happier in science? He said, yes. And I said, why? He said, I would have done more. And I said, where do you think you would have ended up? He said, with Dr. Edwin Hubble, as an astronomer. I could study the stars and the planets forever. I always wanted to know why. Then why didn't you do it? What changed your mind? Pictures changed my mind. I was too far along in the movie business. But when I go to Caltech now and I hear about things I'm not familiar with, like black holes, damn, I get mad. How the hell I ever refused that, I don't know. Whatever made me refuse it? So I think he really believed that scientists were doing more important things than motion picture directors.
You know, I want to go back to the 1938 film You Can't Take It With You, and this moment where Jimmy Stewart's character is talking about his enthusiasm for solar power. Let's hear just a bit of that.
I remember in college, another guy and I had an idea that we wanted to find out what made the grass grow green, because there's a tiny little engine in the green of this grass and in the green of the trees that has the mysterious gift of being able to take energy from the rays of the sun and store it up. Well, we thought if we could find the secret of all those millions of little engines in this green stuff, we can make big ones. And then we could take all the power we could ever need right from the sun's rays, you see?
It's a fantastically well-acted scene. It goes on for actually 4.5 minutes in one shot. So it's very intimate, and you get a real sense of the actors. And Capra and Robert Riskin, the screenwriter, had made a lot of changes in the play that they adapted there, You Can't Take It With You. And they added that scene, and that was obviously very personal to Capra. Robert Riskin didn't have a scientific background, so I think we could safely ascribe that to Capra. And Jimmy Stewart is giving his talk about the potential of solar energy, and then he expresses regret that he didn't pursue it. So that definitely comes from Capra's heart as well.
Joseph McBride is an associate professor of cinema at San Francisco State University and author of Frank Capra, The Catastrophe of Success. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Belinsky, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Jessica Elise Smith, Ike Sriskanjaraja, and Mitra Taj, with help from Sarah Calkins, Marilyn Gavoni, and Sammy Sousa. Our interns are Emily Guerin and Bridget McDonald. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Learish-Dean composed our themes. Steve Kerwood is our executive producer. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Jeff Young. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science. And Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues. the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve a chance to live a healthy, productive life. Information at gatesfoundation.org. And Pax World Mutual Funds, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision-making. On the web at paxworld.com. Pax World, for tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.